The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, the family law courts are badly in need of reform, and lowering the costs should be one of the priorities. I'm joined in studio now by Keith Walsh, family law solicitor. Keith, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, there is reform proposed, but there are forces at work to stop that reform going through.
Well, I suppose there is reform proposed. The reform is good, and it proposes lower costs, which I think everyone could agree should be a priority. The onus should be on the lawyers to adapt. I've no issue with that. And there should be a specialist family court in the district circuit and high court. The issue, I suppose, is one proposal which family lawyers, but also retired judges, child assessors, forensic accountants and non-lawyers involved in the system are really concerned that it will make the system worse rather than better. And that is the proposal to transfer all divorces with a value of less than 1 million, which captures a huge number of divorces, probably over 80% of them, down to the district court. Now, on the face of it, that seems to say, well, look, we'll save costs by sending it to the district court. The difficulty is the district court is historically under-resourced. It doesn't have the kind of infrastructure to deal with cases. And if you wanted to get a case in front of the district court in Naas today, for example, for maintenance, you'd be waiting half a year. Now, the reforms hopefully will reduce any waiting times, but the concern isn't, it's not so much with the costs, it's with the fact that families will be subject to more delay. The cost may actually, it may rebound.
But doesn't the reform then demand that you have, if you like, a dedicated court that deals with certain things? Like if it's the divorce court, full stop, that is not dealing with issues that might follow on from agreements that are not honoured, for example, the guardianship and maintenance and all the rest of it, that they would be handled as they are handled at the moment, but that you have a special division of the divorce court that says two people coming in, they've got assets between the house and anything else, pension plan and so on, of a million or less than a million. So off we go.
Yeah, well, that isn't what's proposed. They're just proposing a general family jurisdiction, and everything will be in these specialist family courts. So it will be domestic violence, it will be guardianship and access, it will be also childcare, which is a really busy one as well. And also then you're going to put another 5,000 to 6,000 cases down there. And I suppose the concern really is that the district court has never really been properly resourced. At a conference last week to celebrate 100 years of the courts, the president of the district court said that it isn't unusual to have sometimes up to 100 or 200 cases even in a list, which if there's that number of cases in a list, you're simply never going to get to them. And the problem with the district court is, for example, if I go into the district court office today and I want to start a case, I just get given a date for that case to be heard. In the circuit court, the case doesn't get a date for hearing until everything is ready. And between it starting and everything being ready, a lot of work has to be done by the parties, if they're not legally represented, or by the lawyers. And really, putting something into a list just to get a date doesn't actually solve anything. It's the background work that needs to be done. So the judge can look at the file and say, OK, you have a pension. OK, you have all this financial stuff. OK, you've got a report on the children, and this is what the independent person says is best. But the problem with the district court is that doesn't get done. And what you're essentially talking about doing is, I think, increasing potentially the cost to the family in terms of cost, but also in terms of delay. If this system goes ahead, there's kind of unanimity between lawyers and also non-government organisations like those who deal with domestic violence, who are in favour of children. And I think there was a letter from Barnardo's in the Irish Times on Saturday where they had concerns if this is implemented, that it would impact on children. So delays really cost money, and they also, nobody should be tortured for longer than is necessary with divorce or with any court proceedings hanging over them. And the real concern is that this would delay things. The circuit court isn't working really fantastically well, but I think what we should do is reform that immediately, even before the bill comes in, and look at better case management, immediate intervention of judges, and a whole range of other things which the Joint Oireachtas Committee reported on 5 years ago, which could be put into place.
The idea, though, where you have, for example, mediation, which leads to an agreement between the parties, I mean, that should just pop into the district court, and before the list even begins, the judge says, well, party A versus party B agreed, rubber stamp, you're divorced. What's wrong with that?
Well, what's wrong with it, I suppose, is the Constitution says that in order to grant a divorce in Ireland, the judge has to make sure that proper provision is made for both the husband, the wife, and also the children. That involves some kind of examination of the settlement and the arrangements for the children. In order to do that, the judge needs verifiable information, either sworn affidavits or something, which is presented to them. Now, the only empirical evidence that's available in relation to how long it takes a judge to do that is a Law Society survey from 2019 where Dr. Geoffrey Shannon conducted research, and it generally takes about 15 minutes when everything is agreed for a judge in the circuit court to make sure everything is done right. The difficulty
would is... Would he not have a do his ecker, his homework, and read it the night before?
Well, he,
I mean, do they have a problem with doing that? Because they're always telling us they work so hard reading their legal tomes and all the rest of it. If they prepped themselves going into court, instead of having it to be read out to them, it could accelerate the process.
No, but they still have to read the financial documentation. And again, the courts are set up on what's called viva voce, or they have to hear the evidence. So the judge, in addition to making sure proper provision has to be made, they have to hear that the parties are living separate and apart for 2 years before the divorce starts, and there's no chance of a reconciliation. Mm. But, I mean, that's a really important safeguard, because it's a safeguard for the vulnerable person, or the person, for example, who doesn't have a pension, and they don't realise they may be entitled to a good portion of the other person's pension. They're also a safeguard for maybe the father who isn't getting a fair shake on the access, or for the mother who isn't getting an enough maintenance, or where there's an unfair division of the house. And again, those types of agreements, judges can and they do regularly challenge those agreements for not being fair. So our divorce system is the way that I suppose the Irish people have designed it, and it's very different to America or Canada or California or the US. For example, in the US or in Scotland, your entitlement to the estate or to a share of your wife or husband's assets stop at the date of separation, whereas in Ireland it goes right up to the date of divorce. So we've a peculiar system, but it does require a bit more judge intervention, and that's why even consent matters, if they went to the district court, I'd be really concerned that they'd be dealt with in an incredibly summary way. If you have 200 or 150 cases in your list, you're not even going to be able to spend 5 minutes, never mind 15 minutes on it.
But if most of the cases are agreed, you know, the parties have either worked it out themselves and agreed this and sign accordingly. Now, you could have coercive control and all of that kind of thing. But if you have a mediator, all professionally trained, if they come in and say, by the way, this is an agreement, we're all sound here, we're all happy.
Yeah, well, remember, a mediator's function is only to get to an agreement. They're not compelled to come to a fair agreement, unlike, we'll say, a judge. So even if there is a mediated agreement, the judge still has the onus to both the parties and to the children in particular. And we did pass a constitutional referendum to hear the voice of the child. And that's a really important part of any settlement. And again, mediators aren't regulated. There's no qualifications for them. And particularly in cases where there's either coercive control, or, as you mentioned, or domestic violence, or inequality of economic bargaining power, or lack of awareness in terms of financial issues.
But there are so many. You talk about reforming the circuit court, and this might apply at every level, high court, circuit court, district court, that where someone is dragging their feet, that there would be financial penalties for dragging their feet.
Absolutely. And also that if you make an offer and the other person doesn't beat that offer in court, called a tender or a Calder Bank, that the person who doesn't beat the offer would be penalised. And that would send a message out to people that, look, if a reasonable settlement offer is made early on, you should take it or woe betide the consequences. Now, obviously, there are exceptions to that, but those exceptions could be worked around. And certainly, I think there's a lot of things that could be done with a bit of willingness on everyone's part to do it and to make the system function
now,
better.
Would not the obvious solution be to just expand the resources of the district court? In other words, I'm sure there's loads of barristers in the law library who are living off the clippings of tin and would love to be a district court judge with the pension and all the rest of it. Have many more district court judges to accelerate everything, and therefore you could drop these cases worth a million or less down into the district court.
Well, it's not simply just having more judges. You also would need more registrars. And what's missing in the district court in particular is the kind of the background, the back office, if you like, or the infrastructure. So the system of dealing with cases before they get settled. So making sure that people produce things. In the circuit court, there's a case management or case progression system. You'd have to invent that all over again. There's a particular official who deals with case management in the circuit court for family law cases and who's busy every day of the week. That person would have to go to the district court. So you're also creating a new cost in that you're duplicating a system that's already there in the district court. Again, it may be cheaper just to actually appoint more circuit court judges. And it also...
But you see, the listeners are saying, this is from Dahi, blatant campaign by lawyers to keep divorces in higher courts to preserve their costs income. Most straightforward divorces only need a rubber stamp approval. That suspicion when you're saying more activity in the circuit court, that keeps the fee income right up there. And that's what people are suspicious of.
Well, I think the move to the district court will result in greater delays, greater inefficiencies, greater costs to the exchequer in terms of the delays. If you keep having lists of 100 or 50 and they keep getting called over and cases keep getting adjourned, it is a torture to the litigants, to the family. It's huge concerns. And also it's more cost because your lawyer has to turn up and keep going to the cases.
Yeah, but is not the adversarial system utterly inappropriate in family law, really, when you think about it? You've got one solicitor who's bigging up his client to say, I'll get you this. You've got the other client, the solicitor's client, bigging up their client saying, I'll get you that, or you're not going to give access to the kids, or whatever it might be. You've got, it's designed for a row.
Well, the adversarial system is designed to get at the truth. And that's why you have evidence and people get cross-examined. Because unfortunately, in family law, you have quite a bit of covering up of financial information and it takes a little bit of time to get at the truth. We also have this new kind of introduction recently introduced by the odd parent, and thankfully it's not that common, where the children are weaponized in terms of access disputes. And again, where the child says they don't want to go to a parent, is that the parent who's saying that, or is it actually the child? And we need to get independent assessors. And again, if it's your child, you're entitled to be able to cross-examine. So I do agree it should be less adversarial. I think most specialist family lawyers like myself and many, many others are collaborative and want to settle a case because there is no point in spending a year or 6 months or longer on a case if you can avoid it. The problem is often there's really kind of bad feelings between the spouses and they don't want to agree something if the other person wants to
agree.
But
isn't that the case for mediation? This text, I'm a family mediator. Properly resourcing family mediation would reduce the workload on the district court to a huge degree. The biggest block to mediation is the legal profession. A professional mediator will always ensure that agreements are to the highest legal standards.
Well, mediators aren't regulated, unfortunately. Mediation isn't appropriate in domestic violence cases. So again, at the minute, the figures for domestic violence in the district court, there's about 55,000 family law cases going, started in the district court. About 24,000 of them are domestic violence cases. So I have to be very careful when I meet someone to check, is there any domestic violence in the background? And I spend quite a bit of time in terms of trying to find out whether that may be something, because people are quite reluctant to just volunteer it. And they say, well, maybe I won't mention it because it's more about money. But again, you want to find out to see what degree of pressure is put on. But again, there's a whole range of settling things, and one of which is mediation. I am in favour of mediation, but I'm not in favour of making a system that's not fully functional at the minute worse by going to the district court.
Now, the plan, of course, is to create all these new divisions in the High Court, the Circuit Court and the District Court. And you're saying that... What, it's not developed enough or it's not sophisticated enough?
No, the district court is fine for what it currently does, but for divorce and judicial separation, cohabitation, there's a lot of different strands to it and it requires a bit of case management. And that function isn't built into the district court. And if you did build it in, you're really duplicating the circuit court. And my real worry is that wouldn't happen. And what happens is we've huge delays, like the 26 weeks in Naas or the 20 weeks in Castlebar.
All right. On that note, Keith Walsh, family law solicitor, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.